I remember shortly after entering seminary, one of the first retreats that I had, I was praying at Our Lady of the Snows, and it was in their main church. And I was praying with sacred scripture, and I was reading a particular passage, trying to be open to anything that God might have to say to me. And I don't remember exactly what that passage was, but I remember the word life getting my attention. And I just repeated it multiple times and kind of meditated upon that particular word. And then I just asked the Lord, what do you mean by life? And in my imagination, in my mind, it was just kind of an explosion and a vision of all sorts of different animals and plants. And along with that image came the phrase, all life. And that was one of my first experiences encountering God in prayer and recognizing his voice. And so I was a bit surprised and overwhelmed and very joyful and maybe even a little prideful, thinking a lot of myself, oh, God spoke to me. But what I was doing was a kind of prayer called Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine reading or sacred reading. And there's many ways to approach prayer. There are many kinds of prayer methods that can be used. Imaginative prayer is one. Conversational prayer is another. And there are many others. But today I would like to talk a little bit more about Lectio Divina. Before any kind of prayer, it's important for us to calm ourselves, to try to clear our minds, so that any distractions that would come as we're trying to pray would come at that moment. And if something would come up, then we can just write it down and set it aside. We don't have to think about it anymore. We're not going to forget because we wrote it down. Now, it shouldn't disturb us as we continue to try to pray. The next thing to do would be to recall that we are in the presence of God. God is everywhere. Although a lot of times it's easier to recognize we're in the presence of God when we're in a church, or more particularly in adoration, where God, Jesus Christ, is present to us in the Eucharist, and we're able to see that in the monstrance. But recalling that we're talking to someone, recalling that this is about relationship and not just a task to be completed, is very important if we wish to be able to hear God speaking to us, if we want to listen for what he has to tell us. And then before we proceed, to ask for God to assist us in this method of prayer, in this approach to praying, so that we can encounter him more easily. And really, those three steps of calming ourselves, recalling we're in the presence of God, and asking for his assistance is good for any kind of method of prayer that we're going to do. So whenever we go to the Lord for prayer, those are good things. Even before Mass, it's good for us to come early and to do those things, to calm ourselves, to recall we're in the presence of God, and to ask for his assistance, that when we enter into the next phase or aspect of prayer, that he helps us to remain focused and well-disposed to receive all that he has to tell us. But for Lectio Divina itself, there's traditionally four steps to this method. And the first is called Lectio, which means reading. And so when we're reading in a listening way. We're reading it anticipating that God is going to say something, anticipating that a word or a phrase is going to get our attention, that it's going to be meaningful to us, desirous to hear from the Lord. Lectio Divina can also be done by listening, through actual listening and not necessarily reading, where someone else is reading it to you. And that, too, is what we are called to do at Mass, during the Liturgy of the Word, as the readings are being proclaimed to us, for us to listen to the readings in a way where we anticipate that God has something to tell us, individually, personally, that he wants to say something to us. And so to have that desire, that openness, that disposition to listen to what God has to say, makes it easier for us to encounter him through sacred scripture. And in this listening, oftentimes there will be a word or a phrase that gets our attention. And so the next step would be meditatio, or meditation, where we would kind of repeat that word or phrase and just kind of sit with it and pause, give God the opportunity to reveal more fully what he means by that word or phrase, how he's trying to speak to us through that word or phrase. And then after repeating it, after savoring it, the next step would be oratio, which is prayer. So then we talk to God about it and try to hear if he has anything additional to say to us or reveal to us. And in this kind of prayer, this oratio, it can be passive. So if we're reading something, we feel this surge of our heart of gratitude or love for God, then it's real easy to just let that affection lead us towards particular expressions of that gratitude in prayer. Or it could be something more intentional, more deliberate, some sort of speaking to God specifically, like in my case, what do you mean by life? And giving God the opportunity to respond. And in this ancient method of encountering God through sacred scripture, the last step would be contemplatio, which would be contemplation. But what's meant by contemplation is a gift from God, not anything we can generate ourselves. And so we don't always get to this last step. It's up to God if he wishes to give this gift. But the kind of gift is an experience or an encounter with God's abundant love for us. It can be an experience that can be overwhelming or really powerful. And then Pope Benedict XVI had added an additional step to the traditional four steps, and it's called axio, meaning action. What is our resolution based upon our experience in these previous steps for us to do something different in our lives, or to do something with greater intensity, or to refrain from doing something? How are we going to be different moving forward? What actions will we take based upon this moment, this time of prayer? So for example, looking at our current gospel passage, I was praying Lectio Divina with it in preparation for my homily. And what stood out to me was the phrase, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. And I just repeated that, meditated on it. Allowed God to try to reveal to me what he's trying to say through that particular message, savoring those words. And there were many things that came to mind. One of them was to share Lectio Divina with all of you, to put out into the deep, to give you an opportunity to learn how to listen more clearly to God through sacred scripture. But also, to put out into the deep could mean to go beyond our comfort zone in sharing the faith with others and revealing it to other people. And the purpose of which is for a catch. Well, we know in sacred scripture, the next thing that happens, eventually what happens in this passage is that Peter does it, and there's a huge abundance of fish that are caught. And so making the effort, trying to follow God and listen to him, can eventually result in much fruitfulness, an encounter with God. But continuing to pray with these passages, another thing that came to my attention was what Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I think sometimes when we encounter the Lord, we have a stirring in our heart recognizing our unworthiness, recognizing that God's abundant love and his mercy is beyond what we deserve, which of course would be true, or it wouldn't be mercy, it would be justice. But being overwhelmed with the reality that we're unworthy and yet still being blessed by God can be a great source of gratitude and appreciation for how God encounters us and reveals himself to us. The next thing that got my attention, less intensity than the first two, was Peter's response, "Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." Sometimes when God tells us to do something, whether it be in prayer or through the church, through the moral teachings, we have that hesitation. Like, I don't know that I want to do that. But Peter, in our passage today, goes ahead and makes that step, chooses to follow the Lord in faith. And what do we see as a result? The abundant catch of fish. For us to remain faithful will result in encountering the Lord in a profound way. Maybe not immediately, but if we persevere, it will happen. And sometimes following God can be a source of fear. And so the last phrase that got my attention from our passage was when Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Particularly that first part, "Do not be afraid." Sometimes we're afraid that if we go to pray and spend some time with the Lord, whether it be like 30 minutes in Lectio Divina or some other set amount of time, we can be afraid that nothing will happen. We can be afraid that it would be a waste of time. We could be afraid for many reasons. Sometimes we may be afraid to share our faith with other people. And yet our Lord says, "Do not be afraid." And that second part, "From now on you'll be catching men," reminded me of the need for an increase in vocations to the priesthood. This particular passage is about St. Peter being called by Jesus to be his disciple, to be his follower. And the need that we have for more priests to be able to be at service to the people of God, especially in our archdiocese, as we are moving forward with the All Things New initiative. And so it's important for us to pray for priests. And at this Mass, we are blessed because there is a couple that is going to be taking the vocations chalice home and praying for priests and religious life and an increase in those kinds of vocations. But it's important for all of us to pray for an increase in the vocations to the priesthood, that we may have more ministers to help us, to be Christ for us, to bring Christ to us in the Eucharist, in the confessional, in the other sacraments. So let us just take a brief moment now to listen again to this gospel passage and allow ourselves to try to encounter the Lord in this method of prayer of Lectio Divina as we prepare to meet him in the most holy Eucharist. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him. And likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him.